Hi, everyone, and welcome to the SRHM podcast. My name is Nina Sun, and I am an associate editor for the SRHM Journal. Welcome to another editor's summary episode, bringing you the latest research, viewpoints, and review articles appearing in the SRHM Journal. In this episode, we hear from two colleagues from the United Nations Population Fund, or UNFPA. We speak with Peter Mladenov, Program Analyst for Youth-Led Advocacy, Comprehensive Sexuality Education, or CSE, and Digital Technologies, as well as Ilya Zhukov, Global CSE Focal Point. Peter and Ilya worked closely with SRHM's editorial team and supported us to put together this issue. They are also co-authors of two of the issue's commentaries. Welcome to both of them. So Peter, can you please speak a little about the rationale or gap in knowledge that this issue speaks to? Why was it important for SRHM and UNFPA to publish on this topic?
Thank you so much, Nina, and thank you so much to the SRH Matters for having us. We are very excited for having this series of publications out and have been already promoted, but I'm glad that we are meeting today to do further deep dive into the rationale behind. And direct to respond to your questions, just to give you the overview that it's happening as within the framework of the Global Program on Out-of-School Comprehensive Sexuality Education that has been implemented by UNFPA in several countries up to date. And actually, a crucial point was to really deep dive and understand the effectiveness on delivering out-of-school CSE, and really trying to address the topics that are of a pressing need, which are later both identified by UNFPA together with SRH Matters Journal, and especially among marginalized young people. We know that we have quite sufficient data when it comes to CSE curriculum. However, there was a notable deficiency when it comes to a CSE which is delivered for further left behind populations. And just to name a few, these are young people living with HIV, young people selling sex, young people from migrant background, etc. And for us, it was very crucial to understand how we can tailor the programming on out-of-school CSE in order to impact positively to their sexual health being. And we also identified that some of the gap is quite dominant in middle and low income countries, whereas also data is quite insufficient. Therefore, we try to really understand also how to improve the program quality, integrity, and fidelity, which are critical factors to the success of CSE. And for us, it was very important to understand and deep dive into a few of the countries where the program was implemented and where actually the research took place. And there we have focused on specific left behind populations. For instance, we have looked at the programming which is delivered for young people with disabilities in Malawi, young people living with HIV as well. In Ethiopia, we have been implementing the program for young people selling sex. And for us, it was very crucial to identify the strategies how to effectively utilize the CSE. We also have learned our lessons from COVID-19, where all the school closure happened, and out-of-school CSE was the only way to further support the needs of these left-behind populations. Therefore, we wanted to really understand how to make the program more inclusive and to also respond to the needs of the specific left-behind populations in the countries where the research took place. And we're, of course, very happy that we had been working with local partners in those countries together with research institutions, because for us, that was really the added value of the exercise that we have done. And we managed to really put different stakeholders together. And later on, we had the findings coming out of it.
Thanks, Peter. That's so interesting. So could you actually both tell me a bit about the specific findings that stood out to you on a personal level?
If I may, I will start, because I think my answer will be related to what just Peter said about data gaps that we had and that we have still now, but we are working on it. So here in UNFPA, our job not only to be technical experts, but we also implement programs in the field. So that's why one of the outcomes of this special edition is very close to our practical work. I'm talking about a protocol for a multi-country implementation research study. It allows us to cover another gap that we have relating to facilitators. It's so difficult in the field in the different parts of the world to understand, to measure, to evaluate what facilitators need in terms of skills, in terms of their knowledge, and what is the best way to support facilitators. And the protocol, which you can find in this special edition of SRHM Matters journal, seeks to understand the best ways to enhance the performance of facilitators, especially in settings outside of traditional classrooms. This is critical because these facilitators are on the front lines, directly interacting with young people who might not otherwise have access to any modality of comprehensive sexuality education. What is very important for me, that presented protocol includes diverse facilitator profiles. Like, for example, in Ethiopia, where the facilitators delivering CSE to young people with disabilities are themselves disabled, or those who deliver CSE to young people selling sex have been involved in selling sex before. So this approach not only fosters a deeper connection and understanding, but also highlights the importance of inclusivity in education delivery. So understanding what needs to be done differently to train and support these facilitators effectively opens up new pathways for enhancing outcomes of CSE programming. So, Peter, would you like to add anything from your perspective on this question?
Yes, thank you so much, Ilya. I think you have covered quite crucial elements in terms of the findings. I just want to add one more point, and this is the international scope, which actually helped us to really do comparison between the different countries' implementation and research there. And of course, this has further supported our work in terms of understanding the cross-cultural aspect of the work, what, as you mentioned as well, are the critical aspects to support the CSE facilitators, which inevitably, of course, it's really the impact of the quality of the CSE delivery on a later stage. Through the research methods that we have implemented with our partners, we managed to really have a comprehensive view through the data triangulation, but also through understand the variability and applicability of the findings and how we can actually further promote them. And this is the additional added value that came later, which is the catalytic approach, since these findings now can be further utilized in different contexts beyond the countries where the research actually took place. And just to highlight that it's not that the research is not only about filling existing knowledge gaps, it's really about putting the foundation to improve and strengthen existing CSE out of school curriculum, and of course, related to the preparedness of the CSE facilitators, how they can further support this process. And it really talks about the urgent need for really better and more qualitative educational strategies, which can, of course, resonate later on the needs and really fulfilling the gaps, for marginalized communities. And of course, taking into consideration a different cultural and socioeconomic landscapes, I would say.
Great. So you both spoken about a variety of different points that the issue touches upon, including the development of important protocols, supporting youth-led CSE, and supporting the facilitators from communities. So where do we go from here? What do you believe are the next steps now that we have this research and evidence?
Yes, you know, I think this is the most exciting question. And I should say that young people, not only diverse at this exact moment of time, but we have different generations of young people. And the needs of young people today are totally different from the needs of young generation in 5 years. That means that we, if we want to deliver the real comprehensive sexuality education that develop skills and that provide knowledge that young people really need, we need to continue gathering data through all the time while we deliver comprehensive sexuality education. And that means that this research component, implementation research, should always be the part of CSC programming. And I'm so excited that together with our donors, we are looking in the future. And now we are thinking about a phase three of our global out-of-school comprehensive sexuality education program, which going to address megatrends. So we will see how to deliver comprehensive sexuality education in the situation of humanitarian crisis. Unfortunately, in such situations, for example, when the war starts, the SRHR needs of young people very often forgotten. So that's why we need to find a way how to provide access to education in this situation. Then linkages between climate change education and CSC also will be our focus. And what we are looking for is to strengthen gender-based violence prevention component as a part of comprehensive sexuality education. And since all of these areas are new, definitely we will need to work together with top-notch scientists to see what approaches are effective, which are not so effective. So that's why a lot of work ahead. And I'm sure maybe in couple of years or 3 years, we will have enough data for the new special issue of SRHR Matters focused on comprehensive sexuality education.
Wow, Ilya, it's very exciting to hear what you all have planned for phase three. And we very much look forward to seeing the research and supports in taking this work forward. And thanks to both of you, Peter and Ilya, also for this insightful conversation. Please check the show notes for a link to this issue of the SRHM Journal, which is available online and is open access. Follow SRHM Journal on social media and sign up for our newsletter to receive notifications for new research.
Thank you for supporting the SRHM podcast, which is produced by our staff. The music was composed by Thibert Christian and Salomon Beautonde.